Greetings and shalom in the name of Jesus. We want to consider Luke chapter number 10, and we want to look at the first 20 verses. In this session, we want to see Jesus reminding the disciples of the threefold strategy. It will be good for you to realize that there is a threefold strategy to the people that Jesus is mentoring. And it's also good to realize that Jesus has more disciples than you think. The first time, he sent 12. This time, he is sending 72 others. The Bible says that he sent 72 others. Look at what he says. The Lord now chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he planned to visit. So Jesus now wants to let the disciples know that he has different layers of disciples. And number three in this session, we also want to see how the disciples, the agents of change, relate to God, they relate to one another, they relate to the people or the target audience, and the way and how they relate even to the enemies, the wolves. And so in this session, the threefold strategy of Jesus, as we had already seen when he sent the 12, is: one, they were to observe Jesus, the Lord, the master teacher, do it. They're just to follow. There is what we call caught element of education. They just catch what he's doing. It is what we call hidden curriculum. Hidden curriculum is they were not even told to, you know, learn this and this. No, 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 no. They just learn the values and they see even what they were not told to see. They see the courage of this person. So they observe Jesus' work. Jesus perform miracles. Jesus preach, Jesus pray, Jesus walk, Jesus sleep. They observed that. Number two in this strategy, is a threefold strategy, is that Jesus and the disciples work together, hard in hand. So Jesus is telling them, you go and do this, and I do this. Like when we discovered the other time, when they were feeding the 5,000. But number three in the strategy is now when Jesus said the disciples and he observed. He sent the disciples and he assessed. He sent the disciples and he coached. He sent the disciples and he mentor. He sent the disciples and he evaluated them. He monitored them. And he's sending them where he would go. That's the first thing that we learn here. The second thing that we learn in this portion, that is Luke 10, how Jesus related with the disciples and how Jesus was able to transform and change the disciples, is that Jesus has more disciples than what you think. In fact, we can see about five categories of disciples of Jesus. One, we have the category we call disciples, multitude. This is the category of people who follow Jesus. They are called disciples, and we do not know how many they are. We do not know their state. We are not told about their state. We do not know their names, but we know multitude of disciples followed him. That's number one. Number two, we have got what we call the 70 others. Where we are now, or the 72 others. These 72, what we do not know is their state. We also do not know their name, but we know their number. They are 72. You see the difference between the first category of disciples? There are many, but here there are 72. What does that tell you? That Jesus have got different classes of disciples, just like the way a school have got several classes. I want you to know that the school of the master, teacher, they have also classes. Then class number three is the one for the 12. Now, 12 disciples. Here, we know their names. We know their number. We know where they came from. We know their relationship with each other. We know those that were married. We know their age. In fact, we know that it was only Jesus and Peter that were past past 30 years by the time they were together. Do you know all the other disciples were youngster? They were youth. Nobody was below 30. They were all under 30. How do I know? Because when they were paying tax, Jesus did not talk about their own tax. He only talked about the tax of Peter and his own, because it was only people who were beyond 30 years in those days who would pay tax. So Jesus invested in young people, but they are 12. Then the fourth class is the class of three. We already discovered when he would go with them, or we are going to discover when he goes with them at the top of the hill. The hill of the mountain of transfiguration, John, Peter, and James, three of them, he'd go with them. In the time of Gethsemane, he went with them. When they went to raise the daughter of Jairus, he went with them, with the three. So Jesus would go with these three, not that because they are the favorite. No, it shows that the class had reached there. Then, and that's the fourth class. Then the fifth class is the one for one, and particularly the one who had arrived at this class then was only John. If Peter arrived later on, the other disciples, every disciple finally arrived at that. Now, this is the highest level of discipleship. It is a one-to-one discipleship. And so Jesus has different classes of disciples. Now, the number three that we learn in this section from chapter 10, verse 1 to 24, is that these agents of change are related to one another. Number one is that when Jesus sends them, he sent them in pairs. He sends them to towns. He sends them to the place that he would plan to visit. They are going ahead of him. He wants them to experience this ministry. This is what we call in short-term experience in the ministry. It's a STEM. University students who complete university, some of them give at least 1 year or two to go and experience the ministry. But here, Jesus did not allow them to go one. He went two by two. That's why when we are going to preach, don't go alone. At least go in a pair or more than that. Number three is that so they relate with each other. So they knew each other. But we also discovered that they relate with how they relate with the what Jesus called the harvest or the target audience. Jesus told them as part of the instructions that the harvest is great, that many people are in the valley of the shadow of death, that they want to be brought back. But he says the workers are few. So they were told to pray to the Lord of who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his field. Now, how do they also relate with the Lord? That the Lord is the owner of the field. People are the field. These are the harvesters. These disciples are the harvesters in this analogy, in this example. They are the harvesters. But just say they are few. And I want to encourage you that there's no one time that there have been many. All the time, including the time of Jesus, there were just few. And I want you to be part of the few, because the work in the Lord is not in vain. And so Jesus relates with the disciples that they are the one, Jesus is the one who sends them, but they are also supposed to call and ask him to send. But the moment you ask him to send, definitely you'll be the first one to be sent. How do they also relate with the wolves? Look at verse 3. It said, go, now go, and remember that I'm sending you as lambs among the wolves. Now that statement is stuttering, is fearful, is it would make you to be afraid if you misunderstand that text. That verse was only telling them that you are vulnerable. You are like sheep. In fact, it says you are like lambs. These are the young ones of the sheep. In the midst of wolves, the wolf is not one. There are many. They are the pack of wolves. But what would make the... Did Jesus want the wolves to eat the lambs? Was he setting the lambs to become the food of the wolves? Not at all. But he wanted to let you know that there's one major way that the lambs, they are in the midst with their enemies. They coexist. But one way for them to remain is for them to be together with their shepherd all the time. And so Jesus gave these people very good instruction. They were told not to carry money. They were not to carry bags or extra pair of sandals. And don't stop anywhere to greet on the Lord, to greet people. Now, remember, this was a short time experience in the ministry. Much later, when Jesus would, after his death, he told them to go to the whole world. But here they are told, and they were told to carry everything, to carry food, and some of them were to carry and go. But then they were told how to relate with the people where they go. The harvest, that when they go there, they should say, God's peace be with you, with this house. And if the people are the people of peace, they would receive the peace. If not, the peace would return to them. But then they were told not to keep moving from one house to house. They were told to know how to accept hospitality. This is very good information to all of us whom Jesus sends. We are supposed to get hospitality. They were supposed to go and heal. They were supposed to go and preach the kingdom of God. They were supposed to deliver those that were having demons. And if the people refuses them, they were not welcome, they are supposed to just go to the next city. That means we cannot force ourselves to people who do not receive us. Remember, the people of this generation reject the king, they reject his kingdom, and they reject the people of the king or the wife of the king. But then you are told that you go, don't you fear? But then you are told when you enter there, I want you to know that the Holy Spirit will be together with you. And he is going to give you even the word on what to say. And then he challenged the cities that would reject these people. Now, they went there and they finished whatever they were doing. And then they brought back the report back to Jesus. Of course, Jesus told them that these people will reject you. But when they reject you, they reject your message. Anyone who rejects your message is also rejecting me. And anyone who rejects me is rejecting the one who sent me, is rejecting God. And so they were connected with Jesus and God such that when the message is rejected, they will not take it personally. They know that people have rejected Jesus and they have rejected God. And so the 72, as we finish, returned with joy. And they were joyful because the demons would be able to literally bow down to them. They came and reported. But Jesus said, don't just be happy. Don't just rejoice because demons were obeying you or they, as you use, you know, my name. But rejoice, rather, because your name is written in the book of life. Do you know many people rejoice because of the work they do, because of the miracle? It will be good for rather to know that we rejoice because our names are written in the book of life. And finally, Jesus now rejoices. It's not only the disciples that rejoices. Even Jesus rejoices. Why was he rejoicing? He was rejoicing in the Holy Spirit because the Father in heaven had opened, revealed the secrets to these people. And he said that these things are hidden to the wise and those who think they are clever. He said they are revealed to those who are childlike or childlike. And that pleases God. It pleases God to reveal the things or the secrets of heaven. And the people of old, they longed to get this, you know, this revelation. Those who are already gone ahead, they longed to hear what these people heard. They longed to see what these disciples saw. But then, Jesus said, but then it has been revealed to you. And it pleases God. And he finishes by this. I tell you, many prophets and kings long to see what you see, but they did not see it. And they long to hear what you hear, but they did not hear what you have heard. Because they were revealed to them in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for entrusting us with the ministry. Thank you for sending us. And thank you for being together with us. Help us to follow your principles in Jesus' name.